And NASA has awarded contracts to two private companies to develop space taxis that can ferry astronauts to the International Space Station. The companies are Boeing, which won a $4.2 billion contract, and Space Exploration Technologies, or SpaceX, which will get a $2.6 billion contract. Here's NASA Administrator Charles Bolden making the announcement yesterday.
Today's announcement sets the stage for what promises to be the most ambitious and exciting chapter in the history of NASA and human spaceflight.
The new vehicles are scheduled to begin operating in 2017 and would replace the Russian vehicles that the U.S. has relied on to get astronauts into space since the last NASA shuttle was retired in 2011. Pat Duggins is the author of two books on NASA. He joins us from Alabama Public Radio, where he is news director. Pat, great to have you.
Thank you, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell us more about the significance of this, these two contracts that have been handed out.
Well, longtime space watchers will tell you it's kind of like, you know, the wheels of the gods grind slowly, because I was there in 2005 when George W. Bush said the shuttle program was going away. And the criticism at the time was that they were thinking about a replacement vehicle, but no substantial money. And now here we are almost 9 years later. They've signed the deal. So it's like, I guess, you know, better late than never.
So why split it between two companies then? Why do you give this big contract to Boeing, more than $4 billion, and then $2.6 billion for SpaceX?
Well, being a betting man, this is what I think. I wasn't in on the actual negotiations, obviously, but you've got two vehicles that really have not flown, two manned vehicles that haven't flown. You've got the Boeing vehicle, the CST-100, and then the Dragon variant that Elon Musk is talking about. Neither of these vehicles have gone. So if there is some kind of a disaster during development, or if there's some kind of a launch pad disaster with one of the designs, you've got the other. So what NASA is doing, basically, it appears, is that they're betting on two horses in the same race.
Hoping that one of them works out.
Yeah, basically.
And the losing bidder was Sierra Nevada Corp, which was the only one that was designing a winged vehicle, sort of like the shuttle that we used to have, something that could land on an airport runway. The two winners are not like that. Tell us about what they are and why the NASA people decided to go that direction instead of with a winged vehicle.
Well, I'm sure there's some astronaut pilots out there that are going, aw, shucks, because the Dream Chaser didn't make it, because that would be the wind whistling through your hair kind of a thing with the pilot using the control stick to bring the vehicle in. And I think NASA may have just had a belly full of that with the space shuttle. I mean, I covered about 103 of those missions, and it was a magnificent vehicle, but very problematic. What they're doing now is basically, hey, let's go back to the future. Both of the vehicles that we're talking about, the Boeing vehicle and the SpaceX, are the gumdrop-shaped capsules that are familiar to anybody who's gone to the Smithsonian and seen the capsule that Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and Mike Collins flew on. It's really simple. It's just, you know, the compartment with the heat shield on the bottom. It goes up. It comes down. None of the frills. It'll either plop in the ocean, or if they go the route that the Russians went with the Soyuz, it could actually possibly land on solid ground. But it's going to be a much less, you know, bells and whistles compared to what was the shuttle or the Dream Chaser was going to be.
Is that as safe as if you had a winged vehicle?
It's more direct, to be honest with you. When they went back to, like, you know, Project Mercury, and they were sending up like Gus Grissom and John Glenn and all those guys, the simplest way to get from here to there was simply to have the gumdrop shape and the heat shield, and that's all. With the space shuttle, I mean, there were the control surfaces, there were the tiles that could be damaged. I mean, you know, the Columbia disaster in 2003 because of that. So if you wanted to come up with something that's safe and that also you've got a lot of familiarity with, then the simple capsule up and back is probably the safest bet for NASA, especially since we're just talking about a space taxi. You go there, you come back, you're a lifeboat. That's basically it.
And how is this going to work with NASA working with these private companies? Do the companies build the rockets and then turn them over to NASA, or are they going to be the ones running the flights and sending the astronauts up to the space station?
Well, I haven't seen the contract yet, but it's kind of interesting. Technically, these guys are going to be working for NASA. In other words, NASA is the contractor. They are the customer. They're the one who's always right. And then people, Boeing, SpaceX, they're the provider of the service. Now, the question has come up earlier, does this open the door possibly to space tourism? Now, on Boeing's own website, they're already talking about, well, we're going to do all these great things for NASA, but there's always the possibility of that space hotel by Bigelow Aerospace that we may wind up supporting too. So it looks as though It's going to be for NASA. It's going to be for the astronauts. But if they can make a buck on the side, there's the possibility they might pursue that, too.
Now, one of the storylines here is that NASA doesn't want to rely as much on the Russians, given what's going on right now between the U.S. and Russia. I spoke with somebody in the aerospace industry today who said, no, this has been in the works much longer. As you said, this is back in 2005. How much does the U.S.-Russian relations problem figure into what's happening?
Well, let's put it this way. If nothing else, the fact that, you know, Congress is getting upset because they have to go to Vladimir Putin hat in hand to send up astronauts, that always rankled Washington. That always was a big deal. But in terms of just the notion of having private corporations do this, if you go back to the movie classic 2001, A Space Odyssey, the space station there was operated by Hilton and the shuttle was operated by Pan Am. So even back in the mid-60s, people were talking about, hey, let big business make a buck in low Earth orbit. It's relatively easy. And then the space agency, the civilian space agency like NASA, we go off and do the cool funky things like maybe go to Mars, go to the moon, do something like that.
I guess they just made the wrong bet on Pan Am there. That obviously is not going to be a contract.
That has
today.
Come up in conversation. Yes.
Well, why did they decide to go private on this and not keep it in-house? Is that a funding issue?
I think that what they're trying to do is kind of get big business to do what big business does best. In other words, there was a whole bunch of people that were fighting it out to try to get the contract. And what I think NASA was hoping for was a more practical vehicle, a less expensive vehicle to use, and basically get the job done and let these guys do it, and we'll pay them. They make a buck. And then we get to concentrate on something called Project Orion, which is it's a big rocket that they're building actually here in Alabama. It's called the Space Launch System. And on top of that is going to be a completely separate launch vehicle called the Orion, which looks suspiciously like Boeing's craft. And what NASA wants to do is utilize that really big, ambitious rocket and their own capsule to do something since they haven't done since 1972, and that's put astronauts out of low Earth orbit. We've been stuck in low Earth orbit since Project Apollo. So if we're going to do anything really, really interesting, we got to have a new big rocket. We have to have a big capsule. That's what NASA's doing over here while Boeing and SpaceX do the grunt work going up and back to the space station.
And we spoke with NASA Administrator Charles Bolden about this earlier this summer. And some of our listeners wrote in and asked afterwards, why isn't NASA working on sending out more Voyagers way out into space? Those are bringing back amazing images.
In my very first book, that was the Final Countdown. That was the deal that was brought up then, because you can actually you can do that with robotic vehicles. But since Congress provides the money, a congressman would rather stand next to an astronaut and get his picture taken than stand next to a space probe.
Pat Duggins, news director for Alabama Public Radio. His books on NASA are, as he said, their Final Countdown, NASA and the End of the Space Shuttle Program, and Trailblazing Mars. Both are now available as audiobooks. Pat, thanks as always.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
And you're listening to Here and Now in 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.